right. Thanks, Bobby. That was great. That was really good, and that really kind of touched me because, you know, when we read the scriptures, we read about how God loves us and won't never leave us or forsake us. We read about the parallels of how God won't ever leave or forsake Israel. And, you know, God's a keeper of promises. If God broke his promises to Israel, why wouldn't he break his promises to us? But he doesn't break his promises to Israel, and he doesn't break his promises to us. So, interestingly, you know, I just, this past week, I was actually driving with my wife yesterday, and she was pulling something up, and she says, oh my goodness. Well, apparently, I don't know how many of you have heard this, but the UN, did you hear about this? The UN had this resolution that they made, and then that should stop you right there and say, oh, what is that? The UN made this resolution that says the Temple Mount has no connection to Judaism or the Jewish people. They came out with this, and my wife was reading this to me, and basically that it's a Muslim holy site, and there's no connection to Israel. You know, and the thing is, the UN is supposed to represent the Council of Nations, okay? And we have to understand that the world with this, boycott movement that's going on that Roger Waters started, with all of the anti-Semitism going on in the world wants Israel to go away. The Arab people want Israel to go away. They tried to wipe out Israel again and again. The enemy, the adversary, Hasatan, wants Israel to go away. And everything that man can try to do is to try to destroy Israel. They can try to say Israel is wiped off the map. They can try to say the Temple Mount doesn't belong to Israel. The Temple Mount, of course, is the site where the Western Wall is and where the temples stood. That's why it's called the Temple Mount. And if you don't call it the Temple Mount, then you're taking the connotation of the temple away from it. It is not a Muslim shrine or a Muslim holy site just because the Al-Aqsa Mosque is on it. But the point is, it seems a lot of times like the world is against Israel, because it is. But God is not against Israel, because God is a keeper of the promises in the scriptures. And in the scriptures, we read about how Israel is the apple of God's eye. So no matter what's going on in the world, don't worry about what the UN does, or what so-and-so does, or what this country says, or what Putin does, or what anybody does. We need to worry about what God says and what God does. That's what we can stand on. Amen. And this has nothing to do with my message, by the way, but I just felt compelled to talk about it. And if you look at Israel, and you look at how God is faithful to Israel when nobody else will be, when it seems impossible. It seems impossible 100 years ago that this desert land that has been trodden down by Arabs and Christians and everybody for years and years and years can get back into Jewish hands after so many years. It seemed impossible, but it happened. And like I always say, if you look at those before and after shots of Tel Aviv, the before shot is dirt, right? And desert. And the after shot is this sprawling metropolis. Now, if that's what man can do, can you imagine what God can do and what God is doing, even though man can't see it? So the point is, God keeps his promises to Israel, and how much more can God keep his promises to you and I? Okay, we can look at Israel, we can look at the Jewish people and Judaism, and we can say, that does not make any sense that Jewish people are even alive anymore, that they haven't been wiped out. People without a homeland for 2,000 years? What other country can say that? That just shows the faithfulness of our God. And if God is faithful with Israel, he's going to be faithful with us. So that should bring us a lot of comfort today. It brings me a lot of comfort to know that, especially when we have difficult times. But what I wanted to talk about today is I wanted to talk and finish up this series. And the series has been about our vision and our mission as a congregation. You know, so many times in Messianic Judaism, and I'm talking about Messianic Judaism being this move of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are choosing to worship God in a Jewish way, are choosing to culturally and contextually worship God live out their lives in a way that is Jewish in nature, with the liturgy we do and all the things we do. Messianic Judaism, it doesn't fit into any box. It's hard to tell people about Messianic Judaism because people don't understand Messianic. Well, what are you, a Christian? What are you, a Jew? You know, what are you? We don't fit in all the time with the Christians, and we don't fit in all the time with the traditional Jews. We're kind of in this no man's land. But you know what? In Messianic Judaism, we're not in no man's land. We're in God's land, and we're filling the gap. I really believe we're filling the gap. And I think as we see history continue to unfold, God continue to work in this world, you're going to see more and more God is using this move. I really believe it. It's a prophetic move to turn people to each other and to turn people to God. And Yeshua is not going to come back to a Jerusalem that's under Arab control or Christian control even. Yeshua is going to come back to a Jerusalem and an Israel under Jewish control. And we know this. And so it's so important to understand things and understand the Bible from its cultural and contextual perspective. And our vision and our mission falls right in line with that. We can't worry about how the world doesn't understand us because we're messianic or whatever that is, right? Sometimes it's hard to define it. Sometimes. Some days it's like, well, what are we? We have to understand who we are. We have to understand God's deep love for us. We have to understand our mission, and that's what we're going to finish talking about today. You know, the last couple of weeks before the high holidays and everything with the hurricane hit, we started talking about the first of the three icons there, the love icon. That is really understanding, knowing, having a personal relationship with God. You need that in order to do any type of mission or vision that God has for you. You can't just go out there and fake it till you make it, okay? You ever seen people that are just faking it? You know, sometimes they can really fake people for a while, but eventually the true colors shine through, don't they? Okay, well, let's let our true colors shine through, the colors of the Lord. And that means having a root, having a base of a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship with Yeshua the Messiah. That's the love part that we talked about. The second part with the plant icon there, that is the grow part. You can't just say, okay, I love God, let's go and do this thing. Let's go and show the world about what God is doing in this world, in this end times and all this stuff. You have to grow in your relationship with God. Nobody knows anything about the scriptures until they pick up the scriptures and start reading them. God doesn't just give you this automatic download. We live in this age now where we just believe we're just going to get an instant download. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen right now. And I know in past sermons I've given the story, you know, I was in, and you just fill in the blank of the fast food chain. I was in the drive-thru, and I was so, and this is personal story, I was so annoyed because you know what? It actually took about 10 minutes to get my food one day. I couldn't believe it. 10 minutes. I was just sitting there, and it was like, why are they being so slow? How come I'm not getting my fast food? But do you realize 10 minutes to get a full meal? 100 years ago, 50 years ago, that would have been like, wow, only 10 minutes? And now it's like, I've got to have it now. You know, I try to think of life before the internet, and I just can't fathom it anymore. But, you know, what was life like before we had everything at our fingertips? You used to have to go to like the encyclopedia to get something. And now you go to Wikipedia and you just get it like that in an instant. But when we don't have things happen to us in an instant, it's like, oh, why is this taking so long? You get frustrated. You need time to grow. It's not going to be an automatic download. Don't get frustrated. Read the scriptures. Be part of a congregation. Get discipled. You have to really be plugged in, because if you're not plugged in and you got the love part, like you love the Lord, what's going to happen? You're going to get out there. You're not going to be fully rooted. You're not going to have grown, and you're going to burn out. You're going to get upset. You're going to get turned off, and it's like it never even happened. It would have been worse than not even being a believer at all, because you're going to be even like anti. You have to give yourself time to grow. Okay, and then this last part, this last icon we're going to talk about is the shine. That's today. That is, okay, you love the Lord, you're growing, you're plugged in, you're doing all the right things. Now what do you do with it? God doesn't just want us to take. You ever met people like this, believers like this? I just want to take, just gimme. You got to give out more. You got to give something out. God has given so much to you so that now you can pour out. That's the shine part. That's the go and sharing of your faith part. That's what I want to talk about today. And I want to give some practical applications for us to share our faith, to go out there and be the mission and vision of Karen Orr, which is to shine the light of Yeshua to our Jewish people here in the Savannah area, shine the light of Yeshua to all people in this area, and show them that there is a God and that there is a Messiah. And He loves us and He's there for us. So when it comes to sharing our faith, though, everybody's got a different opinion. No matter what denomination or even person you go to, they're going to talk to you differently. Oh, you need to go do this. Now, okay, now you need to go do this. Make sure you do this. So what is it? What do we practically need to do? It's hard to decipher. You have different organizations, depending on who you're part of, that have a different mission statement. And we have a mission statement, and you can read it on our website, and we've talked about it. But, you know, I look at an organization like Jews for Jesus, who's doing a great work in reaching Jewish people. But they're pretty much in the forefront. They're the ones standing out there in the corners in San Francisco and New York and Miami. And they are just really sharing the Word of God, handing out different things. Their mission is the following, and this is what they say. We exist to make the Messiahship of Yeshua, or Jesus, an unavoidable issue to our Jewish people worldwide. Their goal is to get in people's faces and say, this is our God, fellow Jews. That is their mission. That is their vision. And you know what? If you're a member of Jews for Jesus, that's what you need to do to be part of that organization. That's fine. Some don't share their faith. Some thinks that everyone needs to come to their own conclusion. You know, I don't necessarily ascribe to that, but you have all these other things in between. And it's really the in-between that we need to talk about, the gray areas that we need to talk about. How can I practically share my faith? Maybe I'm not called to go out on street corners in San Francisco. Maybe you are. That's great if you are. But I'm not, and I don't think most of you are. God calls us to different things at different seasons in our lives. So how do we practically live out our life here in Savannah, Georgia? And how do we share the good news about Yeshua? This good news that's inside of us that we've learned and we've grown about, and now we want to do what God says to do, which is share our faith with people. What does the Bible say about this? Of course, the Bible is our handbook. And how do we share our faith? So if you were to go on our website, you would see that we have under these three icons different paragraphs on what they are and explaining them. And we give scriptures. And the paragraph that we have for the shine is, once we've experienced His love and grown in our walk with Him, we can go out and share the message of Yeshua with others. We are to be a Karen Orr, a ray of light to our community. And we give a couple of scriptures here. Now I want to read now, first scripture of the day from Matthew 28. This is the commission to us. This is the mission statement for all believers, the universal mission statement for all believers. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So that should be comforting for us. This is what God is saying. God doesn't just say, poof, here you go, have a nice life, go figure out what I want you to do. He gives us instructions. It's called the Bible. And He tells us in the scriptures, go out and make disciples, and don't worry, I'm going to be with you. I'll give you the things to say. I'll give you the things that you need to do. This is our mandate verse, to go out and share our faith with others. We have the secret to eternal life that everybody is looking for in the world. Now, they may say they've got it. They may say they know what they're doing. If you read the news, if you watch media, whatever, everybody thinks that they've got it all together, or at least they look like they've got it all. They fake it really, really well. But inside, I can tell you, they're hurting, they're pained, and they need the Lord. Even though they're not saying it on the outside, inside, they need the Lord. And you have the secret. They don't have the secret. Okay? There was this book that came out a few years ago, The Secret, from Oprah. You know, that's not the secret. The secret is Yeshua. That's the secret. And guess what? God has privileged us enough to know that secret. How awesome is that, that God loves you so much that he shared that secret with you. And now he says, go and share that secret to everybody else. I don't want it to be a secret. Go tell everybody. Yeshua is our great rabbi and teacher, and he taught his disciples for 3.5 years on the ground, teaching them every single day, practically. And this was there was this whole rabbi-disciple concept that we've talked about before. He picked 12 disciples, taught them everything he knew. They went out, and you know what they did? They started making disciples. Not unto them, but unto him. Okay? You know, in the scripture it says, don't let anybody call you rabbi. It also says, don't let anybody call you father. It doesn't mean no one should call anyone rabbi or father. What it means is, as a rabbi, my job is to not lift up me. My job is to lift up him. He is the rabbi, okay? I may be called a rabbi, somebody may be called a pastor, but we're lifting up not ourselves. We're not teaching our disciples all about us. We're teaching our disciples about him, the great rabbi. And that's what Yeshua pointed to. He pointed to the Father. And now all these disciples become rabbis, and they point to the Father, and they point to Yeshua. And that's what we need to do. We have become his disciples, and now let's go and share that news with other people and make more disciples for the Lord. You know, and there's another great scripture here. In Acts 1:8, let's go to Acts 1:8. He doesn't just leave us. He doesn't just give us some basic instructions. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is an awesome scripture and a comforting scripture. Today we have that Ruach, that Spirit inside of us. If we've accepted Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, we have that power. We have that access to God. Don't let anybody tell you that, okay, it stopped with the apostles and the disciples. There's no more power. We have the power of Yeshua inside of us. We may not think about that every day, but if you've got the Messiah in you, you've got the light of the world in you. That is a powerful light, and we can't minimize that light. We have the power, and we have the access to God, and we need to share that with people. God is calling us to be his witness, to testify that he is God. He's the one that created the world, and he's the one that knows every hair on our heads. He's the one that keeps Israel. He will never slumber or sleep. He's not going to let the UN do anything to Israel. He's not going to let any Arab nation do anything to Israel. They would have done it by now, by the way. Hundreds of millions of Arabs around them, and like I've said before, Arabs can't agree on anything. They're kind of like Jews. We don't agree on anything, right? Two Jews, three opinions. But over the last 60 years, one thing they've agreed upon, they don't like Israel. They don't like Jewish people. They want to destroy Israel. So what do? They band together and they do these things like the Six-Day War. And they band together and they do the Yom Kippur War and all these different things. And they can't succeed because God is on Israel's side. I don't care how many Arabs are on the other side. I don't care how many people of the world are on the other side. If you've got God on your side, it doesn't matter if the army comes against you. So you have that power inside of you, and it's called Yeshua. It's the Ruach HaKodesh that's working in you to go out and fulfill this mission to share the good news with people. But many of us don't feel very qualified, do we? Well, that's well and good. I know I've got Yeshua in me. I've been learning a lot. I've been reading my Bible, but I just don't feel like I'm supposed to go and share the word. I haven't gone to seminary. I'm not qualified. Not good enough. I haven't been a believer long enough. Whatever the excuse is. Romans 3:23-24. Love the scripture. I use it a lot. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua. Listen, the truth is none of us measure up. Okay, none of us measure up. But that cannot be an excuse for us for not going out and sharing our faith, because there's other scriptures that command us to go out and share our faith. So yes, you're not good enough, but yes, God has called you to go share your faith. So we need to kind of get over that, and we need to press ahead and be a lifestyle witness. Listen, we have the Lord on our side, and he says you'll receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes. The Ruach HaKodesh has come. We can do this. Being a good witness doesn't mean we have to be perfect either. Nobody is perfect. I am brutally aware as I get older and older at how imperfect I am and how much I mess up. But that's okay. We sometimes think as believers that I can't go out and share my faith, or I can't go out and be in ministry, or I can't become this or that unless I do all these things. And then if I get to this certain point in my walk or in my spiritual life or in my personal life, then I'll be good enough to go. No, you need to go now, because God can use your imperfections to witness to others, to share with other people. Being a good witness means that we are ready to be used by the Lord, whether we're perfect or imperfect. There's a scripture here, 2 Timothy 4:2, that talks about how often we should be out there sharing our lives in the Lord. And he doesn't say in this scripture, once you get your life straight, once you stop and then you fill in the blank, then you can go out there. Okay? He says to do it all the time in our lives. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Let's stop right there. How many of you lately have felt a little out of season? I know I have. I felt a little out of season with this hurricane and life and, you know, the fact that, you know, I've had a rough week or whatever it is. A lot of times our out of seasons are more than our in seasons. But it says, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We have to be ready. We have to just be ready to share the Lord with people. The scripture in Matthew 5:14-16 is one of the scriptures that we put up with the icon for the shine part. And this is a powerful scripture. You are the light of the world. You're not the light of Savannah, by the way. You're not the light of your household. You're not the light of, I don't know, your work. You're the light of the world. Not you, the light inside of you, by the way. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Listen, the point of you shining your light is not so people see how great you are. The point of you shining your light is to give glory to the Father in heaven. This is why I said, it's when it says, don't let any man be called rabbi. We need to be pointing to the rabbi up in the sky, if you know what I mean. That's who we need to be giving glory to, our Father in heaven. That's the purpose. God wants to be glorified. God needs to be glorified. We have the gift of eternal life. We are a city. We are a city on a hill. We are a light and we are a lamp. These are all analogies of shining and sharing what we have with others. Have you ever had a lamp in your bedroom or something, and you're trying to turn the light on, it won't turn on, or the lamp is, or the bulb is bad or something, and you're just fumbling around, hitting things, you know, messing up your knee, whatever. When you have darkness and you can't see, it is a mess. You can't. You're totally discombobulated. You're totally useless and ineffective. But when that light's on, it's like a different room. Oh my gosh. I can see that that chair is there. I'm not going to bump it. I can see that I need to go over here and do this. It's amazing, you know, the difference between darkness and light. Listen, we have inside of us the difference between darkness and light. People in this world are shut up in darkness. They're bumping around. They're hitting their knee on things. And it could be like, instead of bumping into a table, they're bumping into drugs. Instead of bumping into the bed, they're bumping into sexual immorality. They're bumping into things because they're in darkness. We have the light that can turn on and show them where they need to go. That is a privilege, but it's an awesome responsibility to us. But when it comes to sharing our faith, we get very intimidated sometimes. I am not by nature a extroverted, hey, let's go hang out, and I'm a people person, and that's not me by nature. If that's you, God bless you. You've been given a real gift. But if it's not you, if you're like me, it's not you. And sometimes you can be intimidated about going out there and sharing your faith. I know I've been intimidated. That's just an honest thing. I'm not a missionary. I don't know what to say sometimes. I'm not a gifted, natural evangelist. It's not my gifting. But We can't leave the witnessing to the Bible theologians and the extroverts, because like half the world is an introvert. God didn't say, I want all extroverts to go out and shine the light of Yeshua now. All you introverts can stay in and hang out and watch cable TV. He didn't say that, you know. It's harder for the introverts to go out there and do it. But you know what? I'm going to give a little tip to all my fellow introverts. Extroverts have a lot of problems too. And they have a hard time doing things that come easily to us. So we all have issues to deal with. And one of our introverts, talking about introverts, one of our things is, I don't know what to say. I get a little intimidated. Listen, we need to be bold. We need to be bold because it's not us. It's Yeshua anyway that's doing it all. We got to remember that. We got to get on board on that train. Every one of us can share our faith. We may not be sent to the mission fields in Africa. We may not be sent to Israel. We may not be sent to the streets of San Francisco and New York. But you know what? Sometimes at the Walmart and Pooler, you can share your faith. Sometimes in your backyard, talking with a neighbor, you can share your faith. Or at work. That's just as important as being in Africa and talking to a tribesperson. It's just as important as being on the street corner in Tel Aviv and sharing the Messiah with a Jewish person. It is, because you're sharing the love of the Lord with someone. Let's look at ways that we can share our faith practically that we don't necessarily need a seminary education to teach us these things. So I'm going to give you a few this morning. Number one, share out of your personal experience. Share out of your personal experience. This is important. I can't, as an introverted person or a person that doesn't necessarily like to talk with people all day, every day, I can't just go and, well, I'm going to go down to Starbucks now and, you know, strike up some conversations. That's not me. I don't go to Starbucks and hang out with people and talk all the time, but I can share out of my own personal experience with other people. Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You can't go and be somebody you're not. God has called you uniquely to be the person you are. Use it to go share your faith with people. Because you can be used to share what you've seen and heard. You've all experienced things, good and bad, in your lives. Let's use it. God put it in your life for a reason, by the way. Let's use it, the good and the bad, to share our faith. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay? It's not a secret, like I said. We've all been given that information. You've all been given access to this. Thank goodness we don't live in a country where the Bible is restricted and we have to sneak around with the Bible. The Bible is everywhere. I have probably, 20 or 30 Bibles in my house. 20 or 30 Bibles, different translations or whatever. We have the access and we can read about this stuff. The definition of a witness is to see, hear, or know. Listen to this definition. To see, hear, or know by personal presence and perception. We're called to be a witness, right? You hear that buzzword all the time. A witness, the definition of a witness, is someone that sees or hears by personal presence and perception. It's your experiences that allow you to be a witness. You can't be a witness to something you didn't see or experience. That's the whole point of going out there, being a witness based on what you have seen. The Apostle Paul, Rav Shlomo, talking to the Philippian congregation, Philippians 4:9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, in Shaul, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is why it's so important to be in a congregation. Because when you're in a congregation, you're learning from somebody when they're teaching you. You're learning from each other when you're talking at Oneg and learning about experiences. You're creating experiences and education for you then to use in your life. I can't tell you how many times I sat in Oneg with somebody over the years and I've heard something and I've used it. I've taken it in personally. And I've been able to share and use it as part of my walk, as part of my testimony, as part of my sharing of the good news with people when I talk to people. We have been taught God's love and God's word, and we have experienced God's love in order to be effective and share the gospel. But how can we be convincing about the love of God unless we've experienced the love of God? And again, it goes back to the love part. You can't do the shine or even the grow if you don't have the love. You got to do things in order. You can't skip to the end. You ever, whenever you were a kid, did you ever take the books and, you know, go to the end of the book and try to read it. And, oh, I'm just gonna skip this book. I don't want to read the book. I'm just going to go to the end. You can't skip to the end. You got to start at the beginning, and you got to go all the way through. That's the formula. That's the way you become a mature believer in order to share your faith. You know, when people preach, I don't know about you, but to me, I'm always keying in. I'm always getting more out when somebody is giving a personal story or testimonial. Have you ever had that where somebody, you're listening to the preacher and blah, 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 blah. It's like the Peanuts adults. You know, you can't understand. And then all of a sudden they give a testimonial about their life. And you're like, ooh, interesting. You perk up because stories captivate us. Personal experience captivates us. And people are going to be captivated by your personal story. Everybody has a story. And it's more interesting, let me tell you, to hear about your story than to hear you saying, well, okay, rule number 7, and you know, the Torah says this. When you experience something, it gets deeper in there and it's more meaningful. People relate to that better. They can see themselves in you, in what you went through. You know, in my life, I've gone through several experiences that have been really unpleasant, and they've been sometimes long experiences, sometimes short experiences. Things where I'm going through it and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why am I not having victory in this in my life? Maybe you're going through that now. You know, times in your life, whether it's a career or ministry or whatever, and you're just like, you just feel like you're getting stuck in the mud. And you're just, all you can do is pull out with one foot and then put it in, go a little bit forward and get stuck again. There's those times in your life. But I'm telling you, those times in the valley are the most important times in your walk, because that's when you're growing. And I look back at those times in my life and I say, if I hadn't have gone through that, I would have not come to where I am today. And I would not have been as effective sharing. Listen, I know I would not be up here speaking to you as a rabbi and having a congregation here in Savannah if I didn't go through years, and I'm talking years, of nothing happening. And God, well, what's going on? You call me to ministry. What's going on? It's not time. It's not time. It's not time. And then to the point where I don't know when it's going to be time, but I'm just going to give it to you, Lord. I'm going to give it up to you. Sometimes you got to give things up to God. And then he's like, okay, you're ready. You love me more than the thing. You love me more than that thing you've been wanting or working so hard for. This is what God wants us to do, to give it up to him. And also to wait on his timing, not our timing. But you go through those things, and I'm telling you, it just makes you that much stronger and more mature to then go out and share your faith. Number two, when you're with people, talk where they are and assess their needs. Don't be trying to quote Spurgeon to people that don't know who Spurgeon is, you know. You have to understand that most people don't know who Spurgeon is, first of all. And second of all, they don't care who Spurgeon is. They want to know why they're hurting in their life. Okay? Don't use grandiose words and phrases. Assess where they are. Listen, Yeshua was a master at this, wasn't he? He spoke directly to each person. He went to the woman at the well and he spoke to her a certain way. Then he had the rich young ruler over here and he spoke to him a certain way. Okay? And sometimes we take out what Yeshua said out of context because we don't understand how masterful he was at speaking to people in their situations. And that's what we need to do, right? He's our rabbi. We have to learn. We're his disciples. We got to learn exactly what the rabbi wants us to learn. From the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. 1 Corinthians 9:22 and 23. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. It's about thinking of the other person and their needs before your needs, or what you think is important. If somebody is at a certain level, if you're going to connect with them, you got to get down to their level. Now, I'm not saying if they're deep in sin, you get down there and you sin right with them. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is assess where they are and speak to their needs and speak to their heart. because they're in a certain place, and if you're going to come up here and do all this stuff up here, you're going to miss each other, completely miss each other. Don't go quoting scripture, like I said, to someone who doesn't believe the Bible is God's word. There's other ways to do it. You're going to get to that at some point with them, but they're not going to receive it right then, or they're going to talk their way out of it or whatever. We do have to make it relevant for people, and I know that word is sometimes this buzzword today, and let me just say that people take this to a dangerous extreme nowadays, this whole relevant thing. We need to be relevant because we need to be able to assess people's needs and meet them where they're at in order to save some of them, as the scripture says. But in my humble opinion, what's going on today is a lot of times, many times, churches, congregations, whatever, they're going too far with this and they're making it too relevant, and they're trying to reach the unchurched so much that they water down the gospel. They don't present Yeshua. They present this person who I don't even know who this person is. They don't resemble Yeshua the Messiah. So there's a balance. You can meet people where they're at without accepting what they're doing and saying, well, I got this Jesus guy over here who can fit your sin. That's not the answer. And people fly off the handle on this all the time. We have to be really, really careful. Calvary Chapel in the 1960s in California had a fantastic ministry, still does today, Calvary Chapels. And what they were doing in Costa Mesa, California in the 1960s, what Chuck Smith was doing was he was going out and he was talking to all the hippies. He was talking to all the surfers and the druggies, and he was telling them about Jesus, really telling them about the Lord. And he was loving them, and he was meeting them where they're at, and it impacted their lives to the point where those druggies and surfers and hippies got saved. They came to know the Lord, and many of them are Calvary Chapel pastors today, teaching other people. Amen. You know, that's how it should be done. But, you know, one thing about Calvary Chapels, if you've ever been to Calvary Chapel, they preach the Word of God. They go verse by verse. There's no watering down of the message of God, you know. So we have to be relevant to people, but not water down the message. Okay, there is a balance between grace and truth, but we need to have both. We need to have both in our lives. Number three, we need to be sensitive. Be sensitive. People need time to think through questions of faith and beliefs. They may have believed something else all of their lives, and you know that's a hard nut to crack sometimes with people. It takes time to work through people's baggage. It takes time for them to work through their baggage and their issues and their past. And we shouldn't think we're just going to go and speak the truth and everybody's just going to get on board. It doesn't happen all the time like that. We need to give them lasting, substantive food, so to speak, spiritual food, and not empty calories and no substance. But we need that takes time. That's not just a, okay, there you go, I'm off to the next person. It's an investment in people. We need to be sensitive, but we need to spend time with them. We need to show them the love of God in our own lives. Again, that goes back to the experience thing. People need time to think through this decision in their lives, and we have to treat them with sensitivity. And as I said before, most of the time when you see people and they're in their world, they look so confident and they look like they got it all together and they don't need the Lord. They don't need you talking, but I'm telling you, inside they do. It's not what you see is what you get. Okay? They could be bubbly and happy on the outside and dying on the inside. They could be going through the worst situation in their life and not look at it, not look that way on the outside. We need to be sensitive to that. Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Every person is different in this world. You're different from the next person. Everybody is unique. And we would go crazy trying to think, okay, how do I witness to this person? I got to make sure I'm like, let the Holy Spirit show you. He'll give you the words to speak to people exactly where they're at, because God knows every heart. You don't know every heart, but God knows every heart. And number four, don't worry about what to say. Sharing our faith sometimes can be, for some of us, paralyzing. You ever tried to share your faith and it's like, oh, I can't do it. I don't know what to say. What if I mess up? You put all this pressure on yourself. You ever done that before with anything? And you put all this pressure on you, and then you're just totally ineffective at all. I've been there in sharing my faith. I'm sure you've been there in sharing your faith. But God will be with us in those moments, and He knows the words. Even before you're going to think them, He knows the words. Let us be used by God. You know, in the early days, we think, oh, my life is so difficult and it's so stressful and I can't talk to people. And listen, 2,000 years ago, when Yeshua went up to heaven, the disciples were all alone again. And they were just like, okay, here we go. He gave us all these instructions. Now we got to go out and we got to start this ecclesia. We got to start this thing, this kingdom of God thing. He wants us to do it. You know, oh, what are we going to do? That would be a lot of stress. See, we don't have a whole lot of stress. People have done this for a while. We get to learn from all those experiences. Imagine if you were like one of those 120 people or whatever, and you're like sitting there like, oh boy, okay, how do we do this? How do we get this thing going? That's pressure. So think about them when you're in these stressful situations. Think about Paul and Silas in prison. How many of us have been in prison because of our faith? That was stressful, I'm sure. Believers were stoned. Believers were killed for their faith, trying to spread this word. And Yeshua's words to them and to us today are still the same. Matthew 10, 18 through 20. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Listen, I'm just going to sit here and read Scripture to you all day because God can say it so much better than I can. Listen, don't worry because God's got it covered. He's going to speak through you. How great is that? You don't have to, like, you know, when you were in school, you had to memorize things and then take a test and all this stuff. You don't need to memorize anything. You just need to go and God's going to just kind of speak through you. It's that easy. But if you're all like tense and I don't know what to do and my problems and all this stuff, you can't be used. You can't be effective. You got to let God work through you. You got to let God. Do not be anxious in life or death situations or in regular decisions about life. We don't need that. What we need to do is relax and let the Spirit of God take over and let the Messiah take over in our lives because He's that light in us. But if we don't get out of the way, that light can't shine. And last point here, you're already sharing and you don't even realize it. You're already sharing Yeshua every day and you don't even know it. It's called lifestyle evangelism. People are watching you. Certainly they know if you're a believer, but even if they don't, they're going to see something different in you. If you've got the light, if you've got the answer to all of life's issues and the light of the world in you, people are going to see it. I'm telling you. I've seen it in my lives where I didn't tell anybody I was a believer, and people just know it because people can see it in you. How you react to situations is going to be a witness. How you handle yourself when you're having a lot of things go wrong at work is a witness. Is a witness. People are watching you. They're going to be watching you when you're on cloud nine, everything's going good in your life, and you got all the right things that you're saying, right? And you're showing them all the smiles and everything. But they're really watching you when bad things are going on, when you're having problems in your life, when there's issues, because they're going to be watching you to say, do they really have this relationship with God? Because my life's pretty junky, and I see their life's pretty junky, and they don't have anything better than me. They need to see Yeshua in us when things are going bad, too. It will destroy our witness if we can talk that talk, but don't walk it out, especially in times of struggle and stress in our lives. We've got to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. It will eventually come up that you're a believer. Or even if it doesn't, they're going to know. And we, as believers in Yeshua, should live our lives by a higher standard. Again, we're not perfect. We're going to have problems. You know, you were probably like me before you became a believer, thinking, when I accept this Yeshua guy, it's going to be great. It's going to be like puppies and rainbows. It's going to be like pots of gold everywhere. Everything's going to be so joyful and wonderful. And then you become a believer, and it is joyful and wonderful, but you still have problems. In fact, sometimes you have more problems as a believer, because you got people that really don't like you now, or that situations, or, you know, the enemy, the devil, doesn't like the fact that we're believers. He's going to do everything he can to throw us off our game at times. It's how we react in these situations that really shows how deep that love part is. We got to always go back. You know, that's the beginning of the book. You got to read the beginning of the book. You got to go all the way through. But this is one of those books you don't just read once. You got to keep going back and reading it again. You got to keep going back. Because there's going to be times in your life where things are bad, and you're going to be like, I don't even know which way is up. Let me go back to the basics. And let me tell you, the simpler you keep your walk with the Lord, the better. The simpler you keep things in life. You always go back to the rock, back to the rock, back to the rock. There's a great quote by St. Francis of Assisi as far as lifestyle evangelism. Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. Lifestyle evangelism, you know, 90% of communication is nonverbal. 90% of communication is nonverbal. People, you could be saying something, but people are reading your body language. People are understanding what you're going through, and they're seeing you, and they can tell what really is going on. We need to be preaching the gospel with our actions. We need to be preaching the gospel with our temperament. We need to be preaching the gospel with our, fill in the blank, whatever, with our attitudes, with our lifestyle, with how we handle situations, good and bad. This is really the crux of it. You don't need to stand on street corners. If you do, great. But if you don't, you're doing something. You're doing lifestyle evangelism. You're already preaching to people. You're already showing the love of Yeshua to people, and you don't even realize it. We need to stop stressing so much about how to go and reach people. You know, I could get stressed out so much as the leader of this congregation, because, you know, the mandate of the congregation is go out and share the good news of Yeshua to people. Okay, specifically with our Jewish people. But last time I checked, most Jewish people don't want to hear about Yeshua. They just don't. But you know what? God is continuing to open doors. If you were in Israel going out and sharing Yeshua, most Israelis don't want to hear it. But hearts are slowly being softened, and people are slowly opening up. And even here in Savannah too. So as a leader, I could be like, oh, well, you know, we haven't had massive revival yet. Most of the Jewish people are not followers of Yeshua. I feel like we're failing. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is the victory is, and the what God calls us to do, honestly, is just be here. Be available. Be ready to talk to people. God will do the rest. God will speak through me. God will speak through you. And if it's 1, 2, 3 here and there, all of a sudden a fire starts, if you know what I mean. We can't be discouraged by what's going on around us. We can't be discouraged by the fact that people don't want to hear the message sometimes, because God will work on them. And when it's the right time, He will open doors for you. My old rabbi was... I would say fairly stubborn as a person, and he was preached to by his cousin for 19 years about the Lord. I'm talking 19 years. That's long. That's longer than any of my children have been alive. 19 years. That's like almost 20 years. And the fact that for almost 20 years, his cousin would talk to him about Yeshua. They're both Jewish people. To the point where one time he threw his cousin out of the house when he came over to talk, you know, to hang out and talk to him about Yeshua. He threw him out of the house. Now, if I was the cousin after the 17th year, let's say, I could have held it out for 17 years. Year 18, just thrown out of the house, I'd be a little discouraged if I was the cousin. Just a little bit. And I've met his cousin. He's very tenacious. He's another rabbi, by the way. He's a messianic rabbi too. But you can't be discouraged if it's the 18th year or the 19th year or the 20th year. You just have to do what God calls you to do. You just have to go out there and you have to be filled up with the Lord. You have to be filled up with the Word and understanding what God is calling you to do and growing in your faith. And you just have to be available and out there and living your life, lifestyle evangelism. God, I believe God is going to put situations in your life where people are going to come to you. I believe He's going to give you opportunities to share your faith, but we have to be ready and we have to be willing. We can't be wallowing in our issues, and we can't be too on cloud nine, oh, I'm a believer, that we miss people and not meet them where they're at. Okay, this is requiring discernment. It's requiring wisdom and understanding. We need to have that, and we have that all in us through Yeshua. So as you go out this week, as you go out this month, how can I be effective? Use me, Lord. What am I doing in my life? You're doing it. You just got to keep walking. Keep walking forward. And sometimes it's going to feel, like I said, like you're just pulling your foot out of one piece of dirt and then putting it in another, right? A piece of mud. And sometimes it's going to be like you're running. But whether you're running or you're stuck in the mud, you're going forward and you're being used by the Lord. Remember that, because God is using every situation to grow you and to grow the kingdom of God. Let's end in prayer. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you have called us here for such a time as this. Lord, every single believer is called to different missions and visions as part of the body. Lord, here at Karen Orr, you've called us to a very specific mission, primarily reaching our Jewish people here in the area. And Lord, I just pray that hearts would be opened. I pray that opportunities will happen, Lord God. I pray that when people are in grocery stores or people are sitting next to somebody at some event, Lord, that you would orchestrate situations to where the love of Yeshua can be shared, to where even when no word is spoken, the lifestyle can be seen. The joy, the pure joy and the light of the world inside of us can be seen, Lord. I pray for those opportunities for all of us. And Lord, I just pray in our lives that we would just remember that you're inside of us, that we have the Comforter, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And we just need to be available and be willing to be used by you to fulfill that mission and vision, Lord. I lift up every single person here and I just pray for encouragement. I pray for stamina and strength, Lord God, and I pray for opportunities to share their faith with people. I thank you, Lord God. This is such an awesome calling you've given us, and thank you that we can, no matter how mature we are, no matter how long we've been ministering, we can always go back and sit at your feet as our master and our rabbi and learn more from you. And as your disciples, we can continue to grow from you. You'll never stop being our rabbi and our father. And I thank you for that. And I just pray that you would help us get this deep in our hearts today. And we thank you and praise you, God. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.